Happy awkward in-between time, post-Christmas, pre-New Year. How you feeling? Oh, yeah. You seem vibrant and red. I will say one thing. I'm seeing a few friends of mine that I don't say very often, but go Cyclones. So it was a good day. I see some of you have the emotional hangover. So that was fun yesterday, wasn't it? Well, I'm eager to share this morning. Christmas is over, although technically not. According to the church calendar, Christmas begins on December 25th and goes through January 5th, 12 days of Christmas. So if you like to continue, you get to continue Christmas. How many of you are my like sentimental, nostalgic people who are already like missing Christmas and reminiscing and thinking about the family gatherings and the holiday celebrations you had? Wow, tough crowd. Okay, me too. Thank you, Leslie. I'm gonna assume the rest of you are people who are like, let's go, 2025. I'm ready for Wednesday, I'm ready for January 1. You know, how many of you have already taken your Christmas decor down? Oh yeah, okay. I see these people with no heart. No, I'm kidding. I love the, but we are so different, aren't we? There are some of us who are like, let's move on. It used to be that in staff meetings, we would have like some great experience, you know, Christmas Eve or something like that. And I would be like, oh, it was so good in this person in this moment. And Brent's like, all right, what's next? You know, so it just depends on who you are. You know, you're like, some of you are ready for Wednesday, January 1. Let's turn the page on the calendar and get going. Some of you are, very few of us are reminiscing. But today, I'm sorry, crowd, most of you, we are going to reminisce a little bit. We're going to look back, but we're looking back with a purpose. We look back in order to look forward. And so this morning, I'm going to invite you maybe into something you don't love or that's a little uncomfortable for you, and we're going to look back. We've been in this series, A Time for Wonder. We talked about a time for renewal, a time for trials, a time for revelation, and a time for wonder, and this morning is a time for reflection. Feels like the appropriate thing to do on December 28th. December is the 29th? I don't even know the days anymore. This is Christmas break. But it's the right thing to do, to look back, to reflect on the year that we've had. And you may be asking why. Why is reflection important? Why are you going to ask me to look back? Let's move forward. Let's look ahead. And why is this something that as followers of Jesus, we should do? Why should we be people of reflection? I think there's a few reasons as I was thinking this week. One, it's that often when we're in the midst of the year, when we're in the midst of the busy and the chaos and the life and even the mundane, we can't always see clearly, or we don't get a bigger vision of what's happening. And so it's helpful to have perspective, to look back and to see what happened this year. What did God do in me this year? How have I changed? What transitions happened this year? What shifts have happened this year? It's hard to see those things when you're right in the middle of them. It's easier when you're on the outside looking back. I also think when we reflect, we become more grateful people. When we reflect and we think about, oh God, what have you done? It evokes some kind of encouragement in us to be grateful, to be people of gratitude. Oh God, thank you for that. I forgot about that moment. Thank you for that. Thank you for arranging that or working that out. It's easy for us to forget what God has done. I don't know about you, but I am a forgetful human. And though I can be so, we talk about being past-oriented and future-oriented, I am present-oriented, and I like to be right where I am. But often in that space, I forget where I've been. I forget what God has done, and I need that reminder going ahead. God, you were faithful in 2024. You will be faithful in the year to come. I've heard this quote in many different said in many different ways by many different authors and writers and speakers, that it's not the experiences that transform us, it's the reflection on those experiences that transform us. The idea that we don't just learn solely from what we've experienced, but we learn from how we make sense of it and how we process that information and the experience that we had. And in order for us to have that, you've got to stop, You've got to slow down a bit, and it requires some reflection. So rather than kind of storming into 2025, ready to take it on, we're going to take a moment of reflection this morning. And I think about, where have we seen this in Scripture? There's a story in the Old Testament that I love. It's in the book of Joshua, and it's after the Israelites had entered the Promised Land. And what a journey they had. I mean, long, wild, unexpected, hard journey. And God spoke to them, and he said, hey, when they arrived in the Promised Land, I want you to reflect on this moment. I want you to remember all the ways that I was faithful to you in this journey. This comes from the book of Joshua, chapter 4. I'm just going to read this little passage here this morning. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. So Joshua called together 12 men that he'd appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and he said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. Now, can you imagine? Think about all that these people have been through. The most recent one, you know, as they move from right into the Promised Land, God stopped the flow of the Jordan River so they could cross on dry ground into the Promised Land. Can you imagine forgetting something that amazing? Or think about how they began their journey, you know, the parting of the Red Sea. Could you ever imagine forgetting a story like that? But apparently God thought they would, because he said, I want you to take a moment right now, and I want you to remember. And in order to remember, I want you to go take stones. And it says they kind of had to hoist them up and haul them. I mean, these big stones, it took a little work. And go and set them in that space. 12 stones to remember what I've done. I cannot imagine forgetting something like that. But I do that. I forget what God's done. I forget even the most amazing, beautiful things that God has done. I've got to reflect and remember. And often, like the Israelites, I have to erect some kind of visual to remind myself, or write something down, or put it in a journal, or, you know, have little trinkets on my desk to remind me of what God has done. And as followers of Jesus, we're invited to do the same, to remember, to tell stories to ourselves about what God has done, and to each other. In fact, part of the reason they did that was not just for themselves to remember, but was for future generations to remember. And so one of the reasons we reflect is also for the sake of the other community around us, and for the sake of our kids, and for the sake of the people close by, or the people around us that will hear our stories for years to come. God is a storytelling God. If you think about it, the early followers of Jesus, none of them had a personal Bible at home to read the stories. You know, they gathered in community and they told stories to one another about God's faithfulness. You all probably just did some of that. If you gathered with family or gathered with friends, many of you likely had moments of remembrance, of like recalling. I don't know about your family, but my family, on both sides, my family, we love to tell stories of things that happened in past Christmases or things that happened in childhood. I heard some more good stories about Matthew's childhood last weekend, you know? And I'm thinking, this is what families do. We gather and we remember. We tell stories of laughter and fun. We cry together as we remember. We were thinking about Matthew's grandma, Gloria, who died this year, and remembering her. And I'm sure many of you did the same thing. And so, as followers of Jesus, as a family of God, we do the same thing. We gather and we remember. We tell stories. And so this morning is us pulling out some of those stories in us. What has God been doing in me? And how can I share that with the people around me? So I know some of you are coming in, you're like, can you just preach? Can you just say something and let me just sit here and not think and not have to do the work of, you know, hoisting the stone and carrying it to the place? You know, one of the Christmas gifts I gave was, Matthew and I gave this gift called StoryWorth. Have any of you heard of this? It's like this subscription that you, each week they send, so it's for his parents, each week they send them a prompt, a writing prompt, to tell a story about something that happened in their childhood or in their family and those kinds of things. And it, over a year, it compiles a book about them. And Matthew's mom was like, oh, thank you. You know, I think she liked it. And then she was kind of like, this is a lot of work. Like, it's a lot of pressure. What if I need an extension? Like, can I get this done in a year? You know, and it made me laugh because I thought, isn't that true? Like, our stories and remembering and reflecting does require a little bit of work. And so this morning, I'm going to invite you into just a little bit of work. And we're going to do this reflection as, actually, as I read through one of my favorite psalms, and one that's probably familiar to many of you, Psalm 23. So I asked Liz, a couple people, if you would pass out. I even have, I'm not going to call it a worksheet because we're in church, we're not in school, but I even have a guide for you. So if you like something visual, you want the things written, I've got a guide for you. I asked Garrett to come and, you know, pluck a little background music when we're reflecting. But we're going to read through Psalm 23 this morning, and we're going to just reflect on our year and what God has done, how we've changed, what's moved and changed in us, maybe what hasn't. And we'll have a little guide, and you'll just follow me, and you'll be blessed this morning with space and time to reflect. So wherever you are, if you're comfortable and you want to, you can close your eyes. I'm just going to read this passage, Psalm 23. I'm going to read it through one time, and then we'll go through each section. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now I'm going to read this section by section, and then I'm just going to ask you some questions to reflect, to consider, where have you seen this in your life this year? And you just get to have time this morning on your own to do this. This is a conversation between you and God. And I also want to tell you, I give you full permission, if you want to get your phone out, hopefully it's not a distraction, but sometimes I need a visual reminder of, I can't remember what's happened this year. So if you want to open your camera roll and like scroll through some of your photos to remember where you've been, what you've done, maybe you need to pull out your calendar, remember the things that have happened, feel free. But as you have the guide in front of you, it'll also be up on the screen. Just reflect this morning. So the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. So I wonder this morning, where have you seen God's provision in 2024? Where have you found rest, peace, a drink for your soul, some kind of refreshing? Take a moment to consider those questions. this next section here says, He guides me along right paths for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. I wonder, what paths have you walked in 2024? Maybe you've had some unexpected detours. Maybe certain paths related to your job or to family. Maybe just this morning I was talking with someone about transition and life transition. Maybe you've experienced a great transition this year. Maybe you've actually traveled to cool places. I know a few people in here who've done that. Maybe paths have led you to other countries or other places. Maybe your paths have been related to health concerns or health issues. What paths have you walked in 2024? And where have you experienced hardship? Have you experienced any dark valleys this year? And how did you experience God in those places? His comfort and His presence. Spend time reflecting on those questions, considering where you've been, and even talking with God about those things. If you haven't felt comfort, if you haven't felt His presence, I don't know what you've experienced this year, but even this morning you can begin to ask Him, God, show me. Will You reveal to me where You've been, how You were with me in that dark valley? Next section of Psalm 23 says, You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. I wonder, have you encountered any enemies this year? That's It's a question that we don't often ask. Have there been people or situations that seemed in opposition to you? And then how has God provided for you in the midst of those things? So consider those questions, and also, how have you experienced an overflowing cup this year? We have both. I love that about Psalm 23. You have struggles and you have the dark valley, but how also have you experienced an overflowing cup? And then how have you overflowed God's goodness that you've received to others around you this year? Take a couple of minutes and reflect on those questions. Final section of Psalm 23 starts to move us to looking ahead. It says, "Surely goodness, your love, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So looking ahead to 2025, to the year to come, there's this promise that he follows you. I've heard in like an even better translation, it's this kind of pursuit of you. God chases you down with his love and his goodness. That's a good promise for 2025, amen? So as you think about the year to come, consider what are ways you want to dwell in God's presence this year? Is there a new practice that you want to try? Maybe it's taking a Sabbath. Maybe it's reading through the Bible in a year. Maybe it's joining a group of some kind where you can be in community and learn about Jesus together. What are ways you want to dwell in God's presence this year? Maybe it's just listening to him, being still with him. And then also consider what paths lie ahead of you that you know about. There's plenty that you probably don't know about. But what paths do you anticipate ahead of you? And what do you need from your good shepherd as you walk into the new year? Take a couple more minutes and consider the year to come. Now, I'm going to do the thing that some of you will dislike me even more for, but I'm going to ask you to turn to somebody near you. And just for a moment, just for a few moments, would you share something? Is there something that resonated with you today? Was there something you remembered today from the year? Something that stood out for you? Maybe it was a theme, maybe it's a story. Maybe it's something God's doing in you. I don't know what that is, but what came up for you today as we reflected through Psalm 23? Just find somebody next to you, around you. If you're one person, you know, find each other and take a few minutes and just share with each other. Maybe you want to share something that you're anticipating in 2025. And this is where, as community, we gather and we share stories of God's work in us, okay? You got it. So go ahead, and I'll bring us back together in just a few minutes.
That's great. I feel more just grateful that that's done, definitely. And Liz and I did a little bit of reflecting on the year. Just a lot's different. We were parents, but you're like, well, she was. She was. I feel like this has been a transformative moment.
Okay. It's good to reflect, isn't it? It's good to remember. It's good to rehearse and remind ourselves and remember what God has done. And also some of the, there are things that remain left as a mystery, or like, I don't know what that was, and I don't know how God was in that, you know? And so we hold both of those things this morning together. But I would encourage you, even this week, to continue. Maybe you take your guide with you and consider even a little more. Ask God, take me a little deeper, remind me a little more, and reveal to me where you're at work in my life and what you have for 2025. Amen? So if you're able, why don't you stand, and worship team, you want to come up. We're going to close and sing what feels appropriate, Goodness of God, is the song with these words from this Psalm 23. And so, God, we love you. We thank you. We worship you for all the ways that you are faithful, for the ways that we have seen your goodness and love in our lives, in our church, in our community, in our families. And God, we also hold these things out with you, with each other, that have felt hard and painful, and we wonder, God, where are you? Continue to reveal yourself to us. Continue to give us encounter with you, Jesus, our good shepherd. We love you. Amen.